Deuces.
Well, here we are.
Felger.
What?
And Mass.
The whole team suck.
Felger and Mass.
Maybe your part in the back is a little bit loose.
98.5. The Sports Hub.
Welcome to the program, Felger and Maserati, coming to you on Agenda Free Friday. Anthony, how you doing, kid?
Good, you?
Yeah, I'm okay. Get to know the traffic patterns here in the greater Dorchester area.
Yeah, tell me about it. It's going to be an adjustment.
It's July. Get hot deep.
How you doing, Murray?
Oh, same, yeah. Oh, no, the traffic on Fridays is a bit of an adjustment, yeah.
It's an adjustment.
Yeah.
Small problems.
Talk radio. A little bit of the change.
Talk radio problems. Agenda Free Friday brought to you by Planet Fitness. The world judges they don't. PlanetFitness.com. You know the drill. Anything from the week we've gotten to or have yet to get to is on the table. So we give opening takes while they're loading up the call screen. We babble. As soon as you're up and loaded with the subjects and everything, we go to you. Simple as that, and we do that all day long. Jimmy, you may release the hounds as I have logged into the computer program. 617-779-0985 is the telephone number. Again, X out of that, load them up, and we'll get going. Opening thoughts to begin, though, Mez.
Murray, why don't you go first today?
Sure. I think we even have accompanying video for this. While I'm going to be spitefully rooting against Jimmy Garoppolo on the football field this season because I'm Team Brady and I want Maz's binky to eat it, I do applaud the young man for doing exactly what professional athletes should be doing when they are young, rich, and handsome. That is that you go get yourself some top-shelf accompaniment, like adult film actress Kiara Mia, whose work I'm not that familiar with, but after digging a little bit, I do know that she has starred in such blockbusters as Cougars Gone Wild 2 and Brabusters 4. She also won the AVN for MILF of the Year recently. So there we see, courtesy of TMZ Sports, Jimmy Garoppolo being creeped on by someone else at a restaurant, out with Kiara Mia, busty Kiara Mia. Not locally, I haven't heard this too much, but now Jimmy Garoppolo's out with a porn star, is a dud or a sanctimonious nerd. If you're one of these types that looks at this and you finger wag Jimmy Garoppolo for being out with an adult film star, you're a nerd. It's that simple. This is what these guys should be doing. Jimmy G, living his best life right now as a young professional athlete, this is what the man should be doing. I applaud this. And it's not like this hasn't happened before. Rob Gronkowski is with that B.B. Jones. Lisa Ann, if you know her work, she's been with Hines Ward and basically half of the NBA. And she's been able to parlay that into a talk radio career. She works for SiriusXM. Like, this isn't anything new. So I don't know why people have, like, freaked out about it because, oh, she's an adult film star. Oh, how dare, it's a bad for business. This is bad for Jimmy G's image. And what's it say about the, what's this say to the children? Like, who cares? Leave him the hell alone. I loved this. I wish there was more of this. These guys, when they're young and they're out there, they should be out there dabbling in this kind of world before they settle down.
Let me know when I can interject. Can I interject now?
Please, yes.
Okay, so at the beginning you said top level or top shelf talent or something like that, that a guy like him should be with top she's top shelf?
People like what they like, Maz.
Okay, so here's what I would tell you.
She's not bottom shelf.
I would think that Jimmy Garoppolo could do better than that.
She's an adult film actress.
I would think that Jimmy Garoppolo could do better than that.
Because she's older? She's 41 years old?
Startling.
Yep, he could do better than that.
The guy likes what he likes. He likes him old and busty.
I agree. And I would say even then, he could do better than that. Just my two cents. Just chucking that out there.
No, slumming it would be if he like got with a 49ers fan or something like that.
Didn't say he was slumming it, Murray. You're putting words in my mouth.
Tremendous.
I told you this the other day on the air, so you can't be surprised.
I know.
Correct? Okay.
Different strokes for different folks. Seems like Jimmy G, his browser is probably full of the works of MILFs. So he's out there and he took his shot and good for him.
All right. So I have some thoughts on this too, but let's continue with our opening thoughts. We'll circle back to it, Murray.
Okay. So I turned my phone off last night. I turned it on this morning. One of the first things that popped onto my phone was a report that Julian Edelman would not sue the NFL after his appeal for a 4-game suspension was rejected. And I thought, isn't that interesting? And so I would like to personally thank Julian Edelman for not wasting my time with that that stupidity of a potential suit over his four-game suspension, because at the end of the day, Julian Edelman was a seventh-round draft pick who is 5'10" or 5'9" or whatever he is, and 180 pounds, who turned himself into one of the toughest, best slot receivers in football, which brings me to the point that, dude, we all know you did it. Okay, we all know you did it. So, save me the stupidity of the lawsuit. Just serve the four games. Move right along. I give him a tip of the cap for this, in all honesty. Don't do anything stupid. You got caught, pal. You got caught. So take your medicine, move along, and be back for week 5. I'm good with that. They need you at the end of the season more than the beginning. And you know what? Take it as an opportunity to heal just a little bit more after that injury from a year ago. So thank you, Julian Edelman, for not doing anything stupid and appealing a 4-game suspension that you deserved.
Okay, my opening take is Patriots-related as well. It'll be quick, and again, it's a bigger topic that I want to circle back to, and that is just the continued unrest there, which is... Well, I mean, is what it is, right? It's just Greg Bedard's story yesterday in the Boston Sports Journal further detailed it. Just said there's nothing's been settled. And so they're still at odds and they're still sort of separate entities down there. And so that, you know, that's the situation. The question is, and the more important thing is, what's the effect? What's the effect of it? Does it affect the team? And does it impact their win-loss record? Does it impact what they can be as a football team? And everyone seems to think that it won't. Right? Everyone seems to think that, well, they didn't get along last year and they went to the Super Bowl and, you know, well, I mean, Greg Bedard even wrote it in his story. He said, could the Patriots continue to be successful if the status quo is maintained? Absolutely. Kraft, Belichick, and Brady are so good at their roles, they don't need the cohesion other organizations need to climb the mountain. The Patriots are the mountain. And let's be honest, it's not like the three of them were hosting team dinners at their houses for bonding in prior years. So the need to be on the same page, quote unquote, among this group is a little bit overblown. So even Bedard says, well, I mean, yeah, they're still at odds. The status is quo, but it doesn't matter. You know, I think people have accepted that a little too easily. I mean, did they get away with it last year? Largely. Unless you consider the Super Bowl, in which it felt like there were some funky decisions made for non-football reasons. And I don't know if Malcolm Butler had anything to do with Tom Brady, but Jim Murray sure thinks so. That crap has crawled inside of Belichick's head, and that was part of a power play. I don't know if I totally believe that, but this is what I'm saying. It's hard to maintain it year after year when you hate each other. I mean, it just is. You just can't do it. Can you get away with it for a certain amount of time? Certainly. But if these guys aren't talking, if it's not functional, that's going to catch up to them. And I don't accept that. Ah, it doesn't matter. They're the mountain, and, you know, they've never got long past, so they're going to be fine. I just think there's a shelf life to it.
Well, and typically those kinds of things show up under duress, right? Under stress. So if you have a bad series of games or even a bad couple of quarters or something's not going right, some bad practices, that stuff will come out.
So I still think they have a chance to all come together and all come together in the next week. And I think the team needs it. I think if they don't, they can't be as good as they can be. Can they be good? Sure. I mean, you got two rookie quarterbacks in the division and a bunch of bozos and an easy schedule and the league sucks. And so, yeah, I mean, you're still going to win a lot of those games. But can you be as good as you're going to be with all these issues internally? I refuse to believe it. Okay, so to your phones. That's it. We've given our opening takes. What are yours? How about Keith in Holden? He'll lead us off today. Keith, go ahead.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. What do you got?
Good. So, you know, I remember back to the offseason last year, and everyone felt like they were going all in. We talked a lot about Brady's going away party, and I think the missing piece was that there was an agreement, and that was going to be Brady's last year, and that Brady had a change of heart, whether it was because of TB12 or whatever, and he wanted to make sure his window stayed at New England. And so when he lost that argument with Kraft and he sided with Brady, the entire team split, and Brady now had all his power and all his people went under him. But I think what happened with Butler at the Super Bowl is related to that, too. I think Brady looked around and he saw Gronk before the game threatening retirement. McDaniels and Patricia were both out. Brady's walking around with his film crew, only caring about his end of his story and everything else. And you get Kraft knocking up cocktail waitresses, and Belichick decided to flush it down the toilet.
Yeah, so you've wrapped that all into one big thing. You've wrapped that all in. I don't buy half of it. I don't think Brady thought he was done last year.
No, Brady didn't have a change of heart.
No. Belichick thought he'd be able to move on with the guy that he wanted, and he was told no. That was the change. And everything that they had planned, and Bill, the way Bill had built his roster, the way he had built the salaries, everything he had done indicated he felt he could go forward with Garoppolo. And when he was told no, that was the change.
Oh, for sure. Again, Brady wanted to be here. It was Belichick's plan that got foiled. But you know what? He raises a good point. I mean, before the game actually started, we heard the report about Gronk and potential retirement. Gronk had to answer it after the game, but we learned of it before.
Yeah, he leaked it.
So it means that Gronk had stuff going on in his head before he took the field.
Meanwhile, Garoppolo goes to the MILF category, which I'd say that's a good place to go. Go ahead, Ryan. What do you think about Garoppolo and MILFs?
Oh, okay. Thanks, guys, for having me on. I agree with Jim to a certain extent. I'm going to have to disagree with Maz here. Think about it. I don't agree that she's the most attractive lady, like not my preference, but Jimmy must have been looking at her when he was a young guy in college. Maybe it's just the nostalgia factor.
Yes, it's sort of like, you know, playing Randy Moss in the video game as a high school and college kid and getting into play with Randy Moss. It's like a big thrill for those guys.
Yeah, he grew up watching a lot of her early works, has a shot with this Kiara Mia, and says, you know what? I'm going to take my shot.
You get a chance to play with a legend, you play with a legend.
Yeah, all I know is if I'm Jimmy Garoppolo, I'd be playing with different legends. That's all. That's all I'm telling you.
If I'm being honest, and I'm not a finger wagger, Murray, in terms of like the moralism of it. Like, I don't care about that. But if that were my quarterback, I'd be like,
Do it in private?
Not a good sign.
What's worse? So I don't know if you saw what's going on with Gronk. Apparently he was swimming with sharks for a part of Shark Week on A&E, whatever. What's worse?
Right. I don't like any of it. I don't like any of it. And so I think I've been pretty consistent about this. Like, I want my players, but especially my quarterback. And the quarterback I do treat differently, Murray. I mean, that's a
Yeah, you said it's like the CEO.
It's a management position, right? It's different. I want my quarterback in the playbook at the stadium, practicing with the fellas. If he's dating someone, I want him dating the girl next door, or with his wife, I want him home. I don't know. The fact that he's, and I'm not with Maz. I think that's a stunning gal. And if you get a chance to play with a legend, you play with a legend, right? You grow up rooting for Joe Montana, and you get a chance to play with Montana, you play with Montana. So like, I'm strictly, if that were Brady, I'd look at him and go, dude, what are you doing? What are we doing?
Oh, I would tell you that to me, the biggest sin he made is to be out there as much as he is. Like, you want to be with her, have a blast. Like, but if you don't, you know, the organization's going to have an interest in that.
He takes her to the front of the restaurant.
Do it on your own time.
Why are they even going to dinner? I mean, and Mike Giardi answered this last night on TV because he's a good boy. Jimmy was raised properly, and you go to dinner and you have a date. You don't just, you know, throw him in the bedroom. He's a good boy. That's why they went to dinner. But was he naive to the fact that that would get caught? Or like, I don't know, the whole thing. If that were my quarterback, I'd be like, dude, come on.
Right. Just get yourself a private room somewhere.
Now, the one thing that bothers me about the whole thing is that some intrusive a-hole had to pull out their phone and video the thing. Like, leave the guy alone.
I'm sorry. I question his taste.
So we're off and running on
If his taste in receivers is sucky receivers, you want them on your team too?
Off and running on an Agenda Free Friday. Back to you after this.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Every afternoon, Felger and Maz bring you the science of sports.
Stupid me.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
You know, Coach Gase he's one of the guys, and you know, he's our leader. He's our you know, he's our head coach, but he's also our boy. So it's cool. It's refreshing to have that kind of relationship with a coach, something I haven't had in a long time. You know, it's almost like Coach Gase is one of the guys, one of the boys, and you know, you want to fight hard for your boys. And back in New England, it's almost like, you know, you had a principal in a principal's office and like that, you know, in a good way and in a bad way, too.
I'm with Danny Amendola on most things. That was a poor comment. Wham. Bill's mean. Adam's nice to us. See how that works out. To the phones. Again, Agenda Free Friday. Everything on the board, including Red Sox stuff, which is where Mike in Fitchburg wants to go. Michael, how you doing?
I'm doing fine, and I'm here to talk about the hidden Travis Shaw of the bullpen. I don't know why the Red Sox don't give the ball to start the eighth inning to this pitcher whose numbers are equal to or better than Kimbrel, Barnes, and even Chris Sale. The guy, Brandon Workman, ERA 1.65, batters hitting only 1.72 against him.
Okay, Mike, good call. We will discuss. Anthony?
So, look, I mean, overall, Workman's been pretty good. But, again, and if you remember, way back when in 2013, he did have some, you know, he's got some balls. Now, whether or not he's an eighth-inning guy, I don't know. That's a big spot. I mean, again.
How hard does he throw? I can't remember.
93. I mean, not you know, to me, ideally, you want a guy there who's 96 to 98.
Yes, yes, yes.
Somewhere in that range. That's what you want. Everybody's got firepower at the end of the game now. And so I want some sort of fireballer at the end of the game. Addison Reed was a bit of an exception. He didn't throw quite as hard, but, you know, had a reputation for being one of the ballsiest guys in the big leagues. I just think, again, remember what you're dealing with now. Like, it's one thing to say we're gonna win in October against the Seattle Mariners. It's another thing to say you're going to go into New York and you are going to go into Houston against killer lineups and teams that have had some success in October and not soil yourself on the mound. So you're going to need, you know, guys that have done it, been through it. You're going to need some heavy artillery there.
It's time for the Cam and Taunton thought of the day. Go ahead, Cameron.
How's it going today, guys? I just want to say this, Mike. I've heard you say this so many times that, you know, you thought Brady was going to leave peacefully. You thought they'd have this all set up by the time they get it this year. Just like, Mike, at the end of the day, they're humans. I know that they've compartmentalized for so long, but it never ends well. This was never going to be the exception to that. At the end, it's not Tom Brady's responsibility to worry about the Patriots, how the well-being of the Patriots organization when he's gone. Tom Brady has become Tom Brady first, and that sucks. But that's the reality they're in. I just don't know why did you think it was going to be different here?
I'm naive. I'm stupid. Man, you know, after 18 years of everything going their way and them pretty much always getting the last word, I just thought that's the way it would end. That it was, that they had it figured out. They had it cinched.
Happy ending, huh?
Yeah.
Happily ever after, everyone walks away.
Yep. I was pretty sure of that.
Yeah. Maybe you were high.
That they would be the team that would happen to. You know? And so that's another thing. Like, can they still win despite their differences? And can they compartmentalize and, you know, go deep? And yes, yes, yes. But they're all going to, you know, this is all going to end and they're all going to be like sort of hating each other. Like, that's not, I don't know. I mean, do you want that?
Well, no, they won't hate each other. I mean, in the short term, they will. They're just sick of each other. And so what'll happen is it'll break apart and they'll all move on because inevitably they have to. I mean, that's just the way life in the world works. And then after they're apart from each other for a while, when they get back on the special occasions and whatever else, they'll be happy to see each other, but that'll be it.
Yeah. I just thought they'd all end on the same page. I did, but I'm naive. I'm stupid. Amy in the car on Jimmy Garoppolo. Hi, Amy.
You're an optimist.
No, not an optimist. All I'm saying is I know Jimmy is rich, he's young, he has a lot to do in his life, but I hope he wears a condom.
So that's the call, Amy? Okay, yes, hopefully, yes, yes. Hopefully he has.
I'm sure she would make him.
Robin Methuen, Robin Methuen, go ahead, Rob.
Hey, just calling in on David Price. I remember 10 years ago watching him pitch in a game. And he came in the playoffs against the Sox and gassed everyone out of the bullpen. And I was just thinking that there's no way he's going to get a win in the playoffs. So why not just have him as a long starter if Porcello
crafts a long guy, a mop-up guy? Would you stop with that? No, you want him out there to be the two-inning, seventh, eighth-inning guy, secret weapon, Andrew Miller. That's what you want. And I'd be fine with it if he were fine with it. I'm just telling you, he ain't going to accept it. And it ain't going to happen. And when I say I'd be fine with it, I really want him in the two slot pitching as best as he can pitch.
Well, sure, that's ideal. But when you say he's not going to accept it, what's he going to do?
He's going to be a dink about it.
What's he now?
It'll be worse. He won't accept it. Like, in that sport, Maz, if a player doesn't want to do it, like, he doesn't do it.
Yeah, I'm not convinced of that. I don't think he has a choice. He might not like it, but eventually he's going to have to go out there and throw the ball.
It just, you know, it doesn't work that way in baseball.
I'm just telling
with established stars, you don't do that.
Okay, but again, in 2004, they bumped Derek Lowe into the bullpen before the playoffs, and he ended up being one of the most valuable guys on the staff. And so by the end of it, you know, he might look at it and say, okay, well, in retrospect.
What was Derek Lowe? How bad was Derek Lowe before they did that?
Well, this guy's trending that way.
No, he's got a 4-1 or something.
4.5. His ERA is now up to 4.5. Like, where's it going? I have felt this way all year. I have felt this way all year long. And so, again, he'll be pissed off. You're 100% right about that part. I'm just telling you, what's he going to do about it? Opt out?
I know, but again, in baseball, if you ask an established guy to do something that's not in his job description, it's a whole mess of problems.
Sure.
It doesn't work in that sport. The player pretty much gets to dictate. I mean, we've just seen it.
Okay, and I'm just telling you that this guy has reached the point where I don't think he has that. I don't think he should have that right anymore.
Well, you know what?
Will they do it? I don't know. I don't know if they have the balls, they should.
If Alex Cora can get him to do it and get him to buy in and get him to be effective, then I will give Alex Cora all the credit in the world. Maybe that's why you have that guy, to do something like that. Tony in Weymouth on Jimmy Garoppolo. Go ahead, Tony.
Hey, hi guys. Quick question. Would you say that NFL quarterbacks, the greatest ones that ever played, decision-making is, well, let's say paramount to to being successful?
Yes.
Okay. So you two, all offseason, have talked about Brady with his decisions that he made, being selfish, being... Well, you know, with his YouTube stuff and all that stuff, would you say that if you had Jimmy Garoppolo now, after what's this been going on, would you say that you might have made a mistake about as far as somebody making decisions that are so paramount and the bad look? And
Sure. Tony, I said it before. Maybe you weren't listening. If this were my quarterback, I'd be concerned. Now, not capital C. And not over the top and not like the caller saying, like, questioning your decision to have him as a quarterback. No, I'm not going that far. But I wouldn't want that to be my quarterback. I wouldn't. And for the reason the caller said. I guess he wasn't like, you know, he's like, why don't you guys? I did. I said it to open the show. I don't like the look for Garoppolo. And it does. It goes back to decision making. And not just that you're dating a porn star, you're allowed to, but it's like, I don't know. Thing on TMZ with the porn star. Like, that's not where I want my quarterback. Okay, that's just it. I mean,
I'm with you on
man,
that.
Maybe I'm a stodgy old white guy, an angry old man, whatever you want to say. I'm out of touch. I'm a square. I don't want my starting quarterback on TMZ with the porn star. I don't. I'm sorry. I don't. Because I think it speaks to something.
Oh, and I hate when these guys end up like getting married too early just for the image of it, because they're being pressured by the ownership, they're being pressured by management, they're being pressured by their teammates,
you disagree.
By their agents. I couldn't disagree more.
Yeah, you want your starting quarterback on TMZ with the porn star.
Yeah, keep it real. That's all I'm asking. So many of these guys end up just going, like Russell Wilson, please, getting married here and saying that he's a virgin, which is a crock anyway, but this whole thing with Ciara a few years ago, like, it's all about his image. Jimmy Garoppolo? Even though I want him to fail on the field, despite Maz, and because I'm Team Brady, he's keeping it real.
Okay,
I like it.
See, I don't understand. I got no issue with him being with the porn star. There's no issue there. But, dude, like, you're representing the organization. Just does the world have to see it?
Right, exactly.
Again, that's on somebody else. That's on some pain in the ass in the restaurant that decided to take
it. No,
yeah, it is.
No,
it isn't.
No, Garoppolo's got to know what the way it works now. You're going to get snapped. And that's why I say I don't want my starting quarterback on TMZ with the porn star. You want to do the porn star on your own time? God bless America. God bless America on TMZ. I'm not saying to throw the guy in jail or that I'm cutting him. I'm just telling you that there's a certain – that position, Murray, it's different than any other in sports.
Yeah.
I don't care if my tight end, my linebacker's out running around with MILF stars on TMZ. Go ahead. You're the linebacker. You're the tight end. The quarterback's got to sort of be above that, or just if, I don't know.
It's such a distinctly American nuisance that people button into other people's sex lives and the sex lives of famous people. Like, good for Jimmy Garoppolo. Dip your toes in those waters. Have a taste of that and realize, okay, this is fun for a bit, and then you move on. He's a young guy.
Oh, yeah,
young, rich, successful. This is what guys like that should be doing.
I just think he could be dipping his toes in nicer waters. I mean, if you're gonna go.
Mess, you are who are you to look at that gal who's beautiful and stunning, and say, yeah, like, gee, you must think, and you call him Brady fat all week, you must think you're Brad Pitt or something.
I'm a pretty good looking dude, actually. But I mean, like how old is this Ciara Mia? She's like
40. She's 41.
Okay, 41.
Like, you must think you are something special.
Murray, do you know who Julia Ann is?
Yeah, I know the works of her, yeah.
Okay,
she's also older.
She's 48.
Okay.
She's a babe. She's a babe.
It's different strokes for different folks, man.
Jimmy G, pal. If you're going to play north of the border in terms of your age, Julia Ann's where you got to go.
Julia Ann?
Julia Ann.
Those are work computers, Mike. A-N. I'm not sure you want to look that up.
I can't just Google
Julia,
her name.
Julia, J-U-L-I-N.
Julia Ann. Julia Ann.
Murray, Google it.
Go. I know. I did it. I got it. That one I Googled. Here's the update.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I think they're scared and should be scared to some degree of Kyrie walking in 2019. I know he had a great year, but you know there are people in Cleveland that will tell you that the Knicks should be considered a real threat for Kyrie Irving because Kyrie had talked about it, you know, playing with the Knicks with some players in that Cleveland locker from what I was told. Things can change. Obviously, you go to Boston, you become the face of the franchise, you're on a winning team, maybe the mindset's changed significantly, but you know, with Rozier, he's not Kyrie, and you want Kyrie to be your starter, but you know, if Kyrie decides to walk, I wouldn't let Rozier out of my sight until I get Kyrie locked in.
So it's Chris Mannix on the uncertainty of the future of Kyrie Irving, which remains a story. Steeple Pent in the Boston Herald had a little bit of an update on that. It was a story about Marcus Smart, but then he delves into the Celtics as a whole and some big picture stuff. He says only two players of major consequence, not in the Celtics' control, meaning under contract or restricted free agents whose offers they can match, Kyrie Irving and Al Horford. Both have options to sever the final seasons of their deals, but the club is confident that things will work out with both. Three agents told the Boston Herald they fully expect Irving to opt out and leave next summer, but sources connected to the player reiterated in the last 2 days that while there are miles to go between now and the end of the coming season, the All-Star guard is quite pleased with his Celtics surroundings and has been talking about the future here beyond 2018 and 19. There was, as well, a report from a generally credible radio source stating that the club had offered Irving to San Antonio in recent trade talks for Kawhi Leonard. But sources from both clubs stated adamantly that was never the case. Generally credible radio source. Congratulations, Jimmy. It's pretty solid.
I would have preferred gossiping radio producer, but I'll take it.
Generally credible radio source.
Like, that's pretty high praise.
That's a huge step up for Jimmy.
To call any one of us anything other than a flaming bozo?
Oh, I know. Yeah, no. We deserve to be mocked and ridiculed at all turns.
So generally credible. What the hell are you doing on this show, generally credible? So, Bulpet says, you're reporting, Jimmy, that you believe that Irving was offered for Kawhi Leonard is, sources from both clubs stated adamantly that was never the case. Your response?
Don't the clubs have to publicly say that so that they don't offend the players involved in that?
Yes.
I mean, I will tell you this, and I think Murray can vouch for me because I tend to tell Murray my gossip ahead of time so that I have a credible witness if I need to defer to it.
An alibi, yeah.
I've sat on this since probably June 10th, 11th, 12th. I've sat on that for about a month. So I stand by it. I still believe that Kyrie Irving was offered for Kawhi Leonard. I believe it.
Hmm. And how do you feel about Kyrie Irving's future here in Boston?
Don't feel good about it. Again, if you were to ask me, it's July 20th right now. Mm-hmm. I would tell you that I have doubts that he'll be on the Celtics opening night roster.
You know, I'll tell you, even Bulpet's source here connected to the player, I still feel like there's a lot of hedging there. But sources connected to the player reiterated that while there are miles to go between now and the end of the season, well, there's a qualifier, the All-Star guard is quite pleased with his Celtics surroundings. That's even phrased weirdly.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
And has been talking about the future here beyond 18-19. Why don't you just say he wants to be here and he's going to stay here?
Because he wants to be a member of the New York Knicks and the Celtics are second place.
You know, I mean,
that's
so,
an opinion.
So even the people around him who are adamantly reiterating, it's like, well, okay, look, there's a long way to go between now and then. But yeah, he's pleased with the surroundings here. He's even mentioned, you know, maybe it could work out here long term. I mean, that's how that feels like that. So that doesn't feel like if he's staying, why didn't the sources connected to him say he's not going anywhere? He's going to stay here.
Yeah, because they're not giving any promises. That's why. And look, to me, I'm worried about it. I don't know where this whole thing is going. I would hope the Celtics have a pretty good grasp on it. But every time this thing comes up, I get more and more nervous.
And Jimmy, you still think there's a chance he's traded this offseason?
Yes. I think there's a chance. I think this might be one of those August 13th, August 22nd, one of these late in the NBA offseason deals.
Okay, so
it's still a worry.
Generally credible radio source back there.
I like that. Gossiping radio producer better, Steve.
I mean, I just...
He was nice to you.
Look, from the time we left the newspaper...
I've known Steve a long time, so...
Since the time you and I left the newspaper business, boy, the standards for good sources have gone way down.
But Stu's track record's solid. I mean, it is. That's why Bullpet can't call him a flaming bozo radio, you know, whatever.
No. Jimmy's got he's got good juice.
Yeah, decent track record.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Pretty decent batting average when it comes to the Celtics stuff. So... Well, I mean, it only makes sense. I mean, nothing publicly has come out where Kyrie has really made any sort of indication that he really wants to stay here. I don't think he hates it here. I keep saying that. It's not about you. Like, I'm sure he likes it here. What's not to like? It's a good team with a good program and not the worst place to live in the world. And it's like, you know, like, I'm sure he's okay with it here.
Is it a big enough fishbowl for him? That's the question.
What if he just, for whatever reason, wants to be somewhere else? And it's not about you. It's about... Well, I've always wanted to be the next great New York Knick, and I wanted to bring that franchise back.
There was a story that I found from about 4.5 years ago where him and his agent are talking about being with the Knicks at some point in their careers.
So, I mean, I don't think it has anything to do with you. I you know, if he's not going to be here, it's just because he's had his eyes on somewhere else from the start, and you might convince him to stay, but it's... You know, really, it's not about you. All right, long commercial-free segment is next, I promise. Right back to your phones.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Janta.
Magenta?
Janta.
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 Sometimes you have to wonder if there's a gas leak in the building.
Woohoo! Whoop-de-doo!
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You know, we've had a lot of great players step up and have good years. We just kind of feed off of each other. It's definitely something that we're constantly working at. And we're talking baseball when we're sitting down eating, or talking baseball when we're, you know, working out, or, you know, out on the field, in the clubhouse. It's just, you know, we love the game. We enjoy it as a group, and that goes a long way. So.
All right, Mitch Moreland. General Red Sox comment for you. So they get ready to begin the second half tonight. Where the hell are they? Detroit?
Detroit, yeah. David Price on the mound.
You have some follow-up thoughts on Dave Dombrowski, Maz, before we go back to the phones?
Look, I do. And one of the things I keep hearing from people over the last, you know, I don't know, day in particular, because yesterday I told you, I think Dombrowski, the more that I examine it and look at it, I really do think he's one of the most overrated GMs in baseball history. I
mean, it's that is quite a statement.
Okay, so again, he's been a GM for 30 years now. He's won one title. Do you realize in the two World Series since the one he's won, his teams have gone 1-8? Do you realize that in his last 12 playoff games, Dave Dombrowski is 1-11? Going back to the Tigers, his teams have now lost 11 of their last 12 playoff games. So when you add all of this up, to me, what it tells you, there's a history of a guy who can build a team during the regular season, but always leaves something unaddressed that comes back to bite his team in the ass in the playoffs. I mean, it's happened over and over and over again. How do you ignore that? And so I keep hearing from people that, well, of the prospects that he's traded away from the Red Sox, who has panned out? Nobody's really panned out. He hasn't given up anybody. And I sort of say, okay, fine, you have an argument there. But you know what? The more that I think about it, no, that argument's wrong. And here's why. It's too early. We don't know. And so there was an item in the Boston Globe today talking about the Futures game that was over the weekend. I just want to read you a quick sentence from it. Okay? In recent years, and the Futures game, for those who don't know, the Futures game is a precursor to the Major League All-Star game in which prospects are asked to play who are going to be stars of the future. Okay, that's the whole point, the Futures game. So these are prospects from all over the game in minor league systems that also play in what is in effect a minor league all-star game that goes in tandem with the Major League All-Star game. Okay, so again, I'm reading from the Globe today. In recent years, the Futures game has been something of a showcase for the Red Sox scouting department. Not only has the team featured some of the more notable participants, but it's also supplied other teams with a rather startling wealth of talent. In the last 3 years, seven futures game participants of other organizations has started their professional careers with the Red Sox. So all I'm saying is, it might look to you now like Dombrowski is given up nothing. We don't know yet. Okay, we don't know yet. Travis Shaw has already blown up in his face. And you don't want to call him a prospect, don't call him a prospect. All I'm telling you is this kid that hit a home run to win the futures game over the weekend, Basabe, one of the outfielders, is a guy the Red Sox gave up. 400 and something foot home run. He's now being projected as a starting center fielder in the big leagues. We don't know yet what he's given up. Okay, and meanwhile, his teams keep losing in October.
And there's your Dave Dombrowski Red Sox update from Maz. Suck on that for a minute, Red Sox fans. 617-779-0985. Back to the phones. Pat on the Pike has a baseball thought. Hi, Pat.
Maz, this is for you. Did you see that stat about Joey Votto today?
I did not. No, tell me.
It had something to do with in 6,500 something at bats, he's never once popped up to the pitcher, first baseman, or catcher. And in the last, I believe, seven seasons, he's only hit one, popped up to the infield seven times total.
I'm sorry, Pat.
Where does that compare to the Trout thing about the back-to-back games a couple weeks back? And is he probably one of the most underrated players in MLB right now?
So look, Votto can hit. And I had heard a stat like that about him earlier in his career that, you know, there was also a similar stat.
He's saying he's never popped up to the pitcher?
Something like that.
Or the first baseman?
Pitcher, first base, or catcher.
That is insane.
And you know what? Wade Boggs went through a whole major league season, I think, without popping up to anyone in the infield. Like, there was a stat like that on Wade Boggs once. So, you know, there were certain guys that just have a knack for putting the barrel on the ball and either hit.
I love Joey
Votto. Oh, no, he can hit. Yeah, he can hit.
But he's a game or two. Like, he reminds me of, I don't know why I think Molitor Yount. Like, I don't know why he's just that sort of guy. He's just the exact kind of player that I love.
And you should love a guy like Votto. The problem with Votto is not the ability. It's the contract. He signed a 10-year, $225 million contract that goes through 2023.
And he's 33 years old, I think.
Yeah, I think that's right.
More on this. He's popped it up seven times since 2010. The average MLB player would have popped it up 127 times. that's ridiculous.
I'm sorry, he's 34. He's 34, and he's got, so you just said, what
he's
is that?
He's got five more years left.
Ay vey. So, right, not a great contract. But yeah, I'm telling you, if he were on a good team, he'd be considered one of these ultimate winning kind of players.
He's got a career on base of 428.
He doesn't have bad at-bats. Knows how to run the bit. I love Joey Votto.
I mean, he walks more than he strikes out. Like, he's one of those guys. He's a unique hitter.
We've got Butch with a thought for us in Somerville. Hi, Butch.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Quick question. On the salary cap, if the owners want to go over the salary cap, let them. But at the end of the year, what you do is you take games away from the team.
You take games away. No. So what the leagues have done is done luxury taxes, where if you want to go over the cap, it's going to cost you money, hard dollars after the fact. And it feels like, I don't know. Do you think those luxury taxes are a deterrent? It does to me. It's certainly been a deterrent here for the Red Sox.
Yeah. Well, I think that the higher you go over them, the more they become a deterrent. And again, this threshold, the Red Sox are already over, right? So a lot of people misunderstand this. They've just gone over so many thresholds at this stage, and I say so many. If they hit the next one, they're going to drop in the draft. And the tax then increases too. So, but to me, it's less of a money thing than about giving up draft picks or places in the draft. So that's why they don't want to go over. The luxury tax thing to me in and of itself, what difference does it make to the Dodgers if they pay a luxury tax?
Exactly.
I mean, they get money coming out their ears.
No. What baseball desperately needs is a floor.
No question.
They need a floor. Because tanking has taken hold in that sport where it never has before. Danny and Blackstone on Danny Amendola. Hi, Danny.
Hey, guys. So you're going back to the Edelman thing. I feel like you guys are looking at this whole situation through, you know, Patriot colored glasses. You guys are assuming that, you know, you said, oh, let's see how that works out for you. You're assuming he wouldn't be perfectly happy going 8-8, making his money, you know, dating future Busty Mills and just having a ton of fun in Miami. Yep. He's already won two rings. Maybe that's where he's at. Maybe he's perfectly happy just having a ton of fun and making his money. I don't know. That's what I think.
You're absolutely right. I don't know. I don't know what's important to him anymore.
I think that's exactly where he is.
But I mean, that's a great point. It's like I say, enjoy going 9-7, and maybe he sits there and says, yeah, I'm okay with 9-7. I'll make to, you know, a bunch more money. I'll live in a great place that I want to live in. I'll still be playing pro football. I'm fine.
I mean, he was a St. Louis Ram.
Yeah, I mean.
There could be that in him, too.
But meaning what? Meaning he's comfortable losing?
Yeah. After I've tasted some success here, like, now it's about getting paid and, whatever. You know, being 500, that ain't that bad.
No, it's a fair point. It's a fair point.
The timing of it is interesting, though. And when I say that, I mean of the departure, right? That he was unwilling to take a pay cut again. Like, why now? Why not last year?
It doesn't even feel like they offered him one. Does it even feel like they talked to the guy?
Not really, no.
It feels like, you know, that was just see you later.
Well, he was one of the first ones gone.
Right, he was gone immediately.
I mean, remember, because they lost the Super Bowl this time. He could have left after winning one a year ago. Yeah, I know. Well, go ahead, say it.
No.
Thanks for reminding
me.
Yeah,
no, I'm pretty sure they did lose that game. But thank you for reminding me. No, well, his contract wasn't up. I mean, that's the difference.
Didn't he redo it before last year,
He's
too?
Redone it between every year, but he still had years on the deal. So it's not like he could sign as a free agent immediately. You know, the team would have had to have cut him first. And I don't think they ever got to a point where they cut him. They always restructured.
Gotcha.
But you're right. I mean, so maybe that's not important to him anymore. And that doesn't even make him a bad guy. Once you've done your winning and you've only got a couple of years left, why not do it in a place you'll make a lot more money? That's a good place to live where you want to be. And you ride off into the sunset that way.
I mean, I think that's basically the decision he made.
Doesn't make you a bad person. Frank in New Jersey, follow up on that.
Guys, the prior caller makes a good point, but I think this a different approach to the Amendola comments. So, Felger, a couple of months ago, you were talking about the player from the Eagles and the comments he made about having fun and all that. So, long story short, I'm a high school teacher, and when you went through that day, I brought that in the classroom and did a lesson on it, and I was talking to the kids, and I said to them, I said, look, you know, it's nice to be happy, it's nice to have fun, but life is not primarily about having fun. What you should be more focused on is meaning, as you talked about, meaning and purpose and the fulfillment you get from the process of working hard and putting in 100%. And then at the end, the reward may come and you get joy from the reward, but there's no promise of even that. So it's about the meaning and the purpose of the process and giving it your all. So this whole thing, this whole message about having fun and the coach being one of the boys, a coach is not supposed to be one of the boys. A teacher isn't supposed to be one of the boys. The whole mindset is work, and it really proves why the Patriot way is the best way to do it. These other ways, if you're looking to have success or give yourself the best chance of success, you're not doing that.
Okay, there you go. High school lesson from Felger and Maz. But it's a good one. I believe in it. Now, there's different stages in life, but my point was with, like, our kids. You know, don't you hear so many parents say, well, I just want them to have fun. I just want them to be happy. I just want them to have fun. I just want them to be happy. Well, I don't know. How about being rewarded, or how about the value of going through the process and putting in hard work and trying to achieve something? And whether you achieve it or not, there's value there in that process.
Sure there is.
In that whole quest.
Yeah.
If you just want them to be happy and to have fun, then you stick a video game console in their hands because that's all they want to do and be happy and have fun. And then at the end of the day, what do you got? You got a mush brain.
Yeah, no. And not only that, but, you know, you have someone that's not going to be able to cope and deal with the real world. And so the to me, the goal, you know, if we're talking parenting, just as a quick aside, like, let them do it. Let them figure it out so that when it comes up the next time, they'll know what the hell they're doing.
But, you know, having fun is one thing, but I don't know.
There's time for fun.
Well, but what's more rewarding? At the end of the day, what's more valuable to you? And I think it's setting a goal and trying to accomplish it.
Sure.
And it ain't fun getting there sometimes, but not to get all deep on you.
I mean, and since he said he was a high school teacher and, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo, I mean, can we start talking about some of my old high school teachers if you want to do that? We can go down that road if you want.
Why, you're in a certain mood today, Maz.
Little randy. Hot weather getting to you.
We've got to, enough
just saying, if we're talking Jimmy Garoppolo and porn, let's dip in.
90 seconds, no commercials, and we're right back.
From the Town Fair Tire Studios. Boston's home for sports is WBZ-FM and HD Boston 98.5, the Sports Hub. The Beasley Media Group Station.